In section 47, Calvin concludes the treatment of the Lord's Prayer in particular by noting a couple of things. First of all, he here discusses the corporate nature of the Lord's Prayer, that we don't just ask for my daily bread, my sins to be forgiven, my deliverance from sin, but as he says, all of us in common ask our bread, forgiveness of sins, etc. Second, he discusses the doxology, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. And he observes that even though this is not in many of the ancient manuscripts, yet in his mind, it should not be omitted. Calvin says, this is firm and tranquil repose for our faith. For if our prayers were to be commended to God by our worth, who would dare even mutter in his presence? Now, however miserable we may be, though unworthiest of all, however devoid of all commendation, we will never yet lack a reason to pray, never be shorn of assurance, since his kingdom, power, and glory can never be snatched away from our Father. So Calvin says the traditional doxology to the Lord's Prayer is a tremendous encouragement to our faith, and it reminds us that the basis for which we ask for these blessings, his name, his will, his kingdom, our bread, forgiveness, deliverance from evil, we don't base that desire on anything in us. We don't base our prayers on anything less than his glory, that he has made promises to his Son. All of God's promises are yes and amen in the Lord Jesus. We pray these things for his kingdom, with the growth of his rule in mind and according to his great power. Now in section 48 and 49, which we'll take up briefly, Calvin just makes one main point in section 48, and they're both short sections, and another one in section 49. In section 48, his main point is that everything lawful, necessary to be asked for is found in the Lord's Prayer. Calvin says, for in this summary he has set forth what is worthy of him, acceptable to him, necessary for us, in effect, what he would willingly grant. For this reason, and this is very strong, Calvin says, for this reason, those who dare go farther and ask anything from God beyond this, first, wish to add to God's wisdom from their own, which cannot happen without insane blasphemy. Secondly, do not confine themselves within God's will, his word, but holding it in contempt, stray away farther in their uncontrolled desire. Lastly, they will never obtain anything, since they pray without faith. Calvin says this prayer, granted it's a summary, and he'll say in the next section that there are other prayers in the Bible, but all of them can find their touchstone and be traced back to this fundamental summary for all prayer. Think about that when you read the prayers of the Bible. For example, lead us not into temptation. Calvin's already said that that's a prayer for our own heart to be shepherded. Now, join that to Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1:17, that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Colossians 1:12, strengthened with might by his power. So that would be an extension of, Lord, shepherd my heart, or even an extension of your kingdom come, your power, your working in us by your spirit. That's not to strain at gnats and to draw connections where none are, but to do justice to the summary, defining summary nature of the Lord's Prayer. Now in section 49, Calvin wants to make it clear that he is not saying by this that we have to always use the exact form of words that are in the Lord's Prayer. Calvin says in the fourth or fifth line of section 49, many prayers are repeatedly suggested to believers by the same Spirit, which bear little similarity in wording. In so teaching, the sufficiency of the Lord's Prayer as a summary for all right prayer, we only mean this, that no man should ask for, expect, or demand anything at all, except what is included by way of summary in this prayer. And though the words may be utterly different, yet the sense ought not to vary. Thus, all prayers contained in Scripture and those which come forth from godly breasts are certainly to be referred to it. Truly, no other can ever be found that equals this in perfection, much less surpasses it. Here, nothing is left out that ought to be thought of in the praises of God, nothing that ought to come into man's mind for his own welfare. And indeed, it is so precisely framed that hope of attempting anything better is rightly taken away from all men. To sum up, let us remember that this is the teaching of divine wisdom, teaching what is willed and willing what was needful. Now, that is a very powerful and wise and compelling closing to Calvin's treatment of the Lord's Prayer, that this is our Savior, the Word of God, come down from heaven, teaching us the end of prayer, the goal of it, the content of prayer, the corporateness of prayer, the God-centeredness of prayer. Calvin says, to this, nothing can be added.